Good morning. I'm Steve Brown, and this is the 89.7 NPR News Fall Fun Drive. I'm here along with Rob Walker to tell you that this is a nonprofit public service radio station, and we count on listeners for the bulk of our income. Your gifts help us bring you all this great programming, like All Sides with Ann Fisher, each and every day, each and every year. And you can give online at WOSU.org, or you can call 1-866-897-9678.
And thanks a lot, Steve. Again, that is the number to call. And coming up here on All Sides with Ann Fisher, Dr. Neil Bernard is going to be the guest. And he has got some great thank you gifts that we're offering this hour only just for listeners to All Sides with Ann Fisher. And when you contribute at $120 a year, or that's a $10 a month sustaining level, and we hope that you choose the $10 a month sustaining level, we're offering his book, Power Foods for the Brain. This is a three-step plan to protect your mind and strengthen your memory. The book has valuable information about nutrition's surprising effects on the brain. The book also includes 75 power food recipes developed by experienced chefs. That's our gift to you for a $10 a month sustaining membership or a one-time gift of $120 at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
And if you listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher often, you know that Ann and her staff work hard to bring you this diverse range of topics, from it's either news of the day to long-term trends to anything else. You're going to hear about it on All Sides with Ann Fisher. And you're a part of the conversation. Listeners from around Columbus, around Ohio, around the world, they call, they weigh in, they send tweets, they follow the show on Facebook just to tell their stories and interact with Ann. It's something that only happens here on public radio. And if you value this local programming, visit WOSU.org to make your pledge today or pick up the phone and call 1-866-897-9678.
And it takes just 2 minutes to support us here on 89.7 NPR News. We have some great volunteers ready to take your call. You can go online or through the WOSU mobile app. And don't forget, if all gifts of $10 a month as a sustaining member, we'll be happy to offer you as our way of saying thanks, Dr. Neil Bernard's book, Power Foods for the Brain. It's a three-step plan to protect your mind and strengthen your memory. That's a $10 a month sustaining membership level. Dr. Bernard is going to be Ann's guest coming up here in a few minutes on All Sides with Ann Fisher. The number to call is 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
And if you're listening to shows like today's, you're interested in learning new things, understanding issues and people around the world. Curiosity drives you to 89.7 NPR News. And you know that you'll learn something every day. You know that you'll gain a few new insights. You know that your time will be well spent. You've likely said several times, I heard on NPR today. Become a part of this special community of 89.7 NPR News listeners. It makes the programming possible by helping to pay for it with a small financial contribution, and no gifts are too small. So please make the call, 1-866-897-9678 or pledge at WOSU.org.
And that is the number to call. Again, if you go online or call right now, just for All Sides with Ann Fisher listeners, we have a great thank you gift. It is the Power of Foods for the Brain book from Dr. Neil Bernard. He is our guest on All Sides with Ann Fisher right now, coming up in just a few minutes. And for your $10 a month sustaining membership level, we'll be able to offer that to you. Power Foods for the Brain, a book by nutrition researcher and New York Times bestseller Dr. Neil Bernard, reveals how simple diet changes can shield the brain from memory loss, stroke, and Alzheimer's. That's our thank you gift this hour at 1-866-897-9678 or online at WOSU.org. Call or go online right now and support All Sides with Ann Fisher.
Support comes from the Wellington School, where fearless learning is celebrated in preschool through grade 12. The Wellington School will host an information session for prospective parents on Monday morning, October 21st at 9. More at wellington.org.
Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. If you watched cartoons as a kid, maybe you still do, perhaps you recall how Popeye the Sailor Man would squeeze open and then consume a can of spinach, after which his arm muscles would simulate an armada of battleships before he punched out the nearest villain. The exaggeration aside, most of us don't fuel up to beat the bad guys. Often we're just trying to remember the name of the last guy we met and where we put our car keys. According to researcher and author Dr. Neil Bernard, spinach can help with that. In fact, there are lots of foods that help our brains work better. Dr. Bernard teaches medicine at the George Washington University School of Medicine and Health Sciences, and he is the president of the nonprofit Physicians Committee for Responsible Science. His latest book, Power Foods for the Brain. an effective three-step plan to protect your mind and strengthen your memory. It's all about strengthening the most complex organ in our bodies simply by changing our diet. Dr. Barnard joins us from New York. Welcome back to the show.
Well, it's great to be back with you.
If you ask people how to protect their hearts from heart disease, they'd have some ideas. But I think people are a little hazier on how to protect themselves from the diseases of the brain. And mostly, most of us are brought up to think that we can't protect ourselves and that once the brain starts going, it's going.
Or that it's all just genetic and,
right.
and there's really nothing you can do. And that's been what's so exciting. With the brain, we've been about a generation behind. We've learned about how to trim your waistline and how foods can affect the heart or diabetes or something like that. But with the brain, it's all just been coming in the past few years. Having said that, it couldn't be coming at a better time because everybody has a relative who has Alzheimer's disease or stroke or something like that. And we're thinking, A, can we help them? B, can we protect ourselves or our children so that they don't have the same fate? And the answer is a resounding yes. There is an enormous amount we can do. And as you were saying, it starts with food, surprisingly enough.
So it's not just things like Alzheimer's. It's any kind of dementia, Alzheimer's. You're talking about people who have had stroke damage, that the brain can be changed.
Yes, and prevention is the most important thing, but even after things are starting to go a little bit south, we can make changes to improve them. And just so that listeners are clear on the terminology, dementia is a broad term.
Mm-hmm.
That means any loss of brain function where your memory is not good, but you may not be sure why. The most common reason for dementia, the most common type, is Alzheimer's disease. And it's very, very common. 5 million Americans have it now. That number is going to triple in the next couple of decades. But there are other types, like stroke, and there are others as well. But Alzheimer's is the biggie. It's the one that's so frightening. It's the one your doctor says it's all genetic. There's nothing you can do. And the new research shows, there is something we can do, and that's the message we're trying to get out there.
How do you do research on this topic as far as how food affects the brain?
You know, it's been done in a couple of ways. And it's marked a tremendous turning point. I think science kind of got off on the wrong foot, and this may be why we're so behind. Back 100 years ago or more, people would look at infectious diseases by trying to sort of dissect them. Rabies is caused by a virus. So if you can identify that virus and in a dish or in animals you can transmit it, maybe you can understand what it is, maybe you can make a vaccine. And people have tried to do that with Alzheimer's disease, where they try to make a mouse that has memory problems or a rat that gets confused. And I want to tell you that those research studies went really not very far. And people then tried to, let's make a medication to see what we can do. And the medicines for Alzheimer's disease are extremely weak and just not satisfying at all. But what really propelled this into the modern age is we took a step back. And we said, how did we learn about heart disease? There's not a person on the planet who doesn't know cholesterol and smoking affect your heart. And if you don't do those things, if you eat a diet that doesn't have cholesterol and animal fat in it, if you throw out the cigarettes, you're not going to get a heart attack or your risk is diminished. So we took a step back and we realized we needed to identify the risk factors. So in Chicago, researchers at the Chicago Health and Aging Project rounded up thousands of people, tracked their diets and other lifestyle factors like exercise, and they showed that certain patterns were protective and dramatically so. And so then the next step is let's put that to the test in real people. So we've got to get away from some of these old methods of trying to dissect the problem and take a much bigger focus looking at populations, and that is where the clues then finally emerged.
To what extent has the ability to see the brain working with brain scans helped your work?
It's helped us to explain what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's sort of a black box between what your diet might be like and then the disease at the end of it. It's been a bit hard to understand how could eating bacon grease lead to Alzheimer's. It's this big black box that we can't see into. But now with new kinds of brain scans, we can look into the brain and we can see what's happening. What we know is that in a person with Alzheimer's, there are tiny little collections, microscopic things that look like a little ball of yarn, except there are millions of them in the brain, and they are called beta amyloid plaques. And so they're there. We know they're there. There are other abnormalities, too, and we know a bit about how food causes them to form.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest this hour is Dr. Neil Barnard. We're talking about his book, Power Foods for the Brain. I mentioned Popeye and spinach as a good way to get some iron. He could have tried a bowl of lentils or eaten a few prunes to get the same effect, right? We're not just there's a wide variety of foods that can give you the kind of punch that spinach can.
Yeah, we love spinach, but you're absolutely right. There are really four major groups of foods that need to be emphasized. One is the vegetable group. That's where spinach comes in, but also fruits, which nutritionally are different. Then whole grains is the third group, and the last group is the bean group, or really the legume group, beans, peas, lentils. What these have in common is they are very vitamin rich. They're rich in fiber. But what they lack is just as important as what they have. There's not one speck of animal fat in them. There is no cholesterol at all. And it turns out that cholesterol seems to be a driver for these amyloid plaques I was talking about. So I grew up in North Dakota, bacon, eggs every morning, and that seems to not only be harmful to the heart, but in the Chicago study, the saturated fat that is in those foods was one of the first big culprits that was identified in Alzheimer's disease. And then trans fats, which are in the donuts that I was also fond of as a youngster, they're just as bad, if not even worse. They will increase the risk of Alzheimer's by three or four or five fold. So message of the morning, throw out the donuts, get away from the bacon and sausage and eggs and so forth, and your big bowl of morning oatmeal topped with some cinnamon and raisins and crushed walnuts is going to be your best friend for the morning.
If you have a question or comment for Dr. Barnard, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org or check out our Facebook page and post your question or comment there. Has there been much pushback from, and I hesitate to use this phrase, but conventional medical community, the non-researchers, the people out there at the front lines, the family practitioners who are used to saying, watch your diet for heart disease, stop smoking to avoid lung cancer. But as far as your brain goes, they don't talk about that as much. And they don't talk about skin as much either.
It's been a new topic, not only for lay people, but for doctors, too, mm-hmm. because here's where medicine is with this. You go into the doctor. You say, my parents had memory problems late in life. My grandfather had Alzheimer's. Am I at risk? The doctor sticks a needle in your arm, sends a sample to the laboratory of blood, and comes back with the DNA results. And what they're looking for is something called the APOE epsilon 4 allele. APOE, that's capitals APOE. This is it's a gene. And if you get the gene number 4 from one parent, your risk of Alzheimer's is tripled. If you got it from both parents, you're a 4-4. Well, your risk is multiplied by 10 or 15. And there's a gene 2, gene 3, gene 4. And you get one from mom, one from dad. So if you're a 2-2, 2-3, whatever, you're better. Mm-hmm. And at that point, the doctor sits down and says, I'm sorry, you're a 4-4 or you're a 3-4. You're at risk. You're going to get this disease. Plan accordingly. And the fact of the matter is we've learned what that gene does. And what the gene does, it doesn't give you Alzheimer's disease. What it does is that gene makes a protein, a carrier protein, that escorts cholesterol from place to place. And I think of it as a little bit like a butter knife, that if you don't have any butter, it can't get spackled anywhere. So you have this gene that makes a protein that is ready to carry cholesterol. But what if I'm not eating animal fats and cholesterol? My cholesterol level will be low. I'm keeping that gene to a degree turned off. And that's been one of the most exciting things in medicine, is that some genes are dictators, like the genes for eye color. You can't argue with them. You're going to have blue eyes or whatever they say. That's it. But the genes for diabetes, the genes for heart disease, the genes for some forms of cancer, and the genes for Alzheimer's are not dictators. They're more like committees. They don't give orders. They sort of make a suggestion. And you can say, no, I do not want to get Alzheimer's, and I'm going to eat in such a way to make that gene irrelevant in my life. And we have the power to do that now, at least to a substantial degree. So it's extremely exciting, not just for me, but for doctors who have been searching for something to use against this disease. We finally got it.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. More of this conversation with Dr. Neil Barnard still to come. But first, membership manager Rob Walker and morning news anchor Steve Brown are here for an update on our fall membership drive.
Well, thank you very much, Ann. And we're asking our listeners to say that they count on 89.7 NPR News for clear, concise reporting on the news that matters and shows like today. You count on shows like this, and we count on you to help us keep these on the air. And that makes your annual contribution so important. This is the 89.7 NPR News Fall Fund Drive, so please consider that gift of $50, $100, whatever fits into your budget. Please give to help pay for the news you use, the programs that you use. You can give quickly and easily online at WOSU.org. You can also give when you pick up the phone and call 1-866-897-9678.
And once again, Dr. Neil Barnard is Ann's guest. And when you call or go online right now and support us as a $10 a month sustaining member, we'll be happy to offer you as our way of saying thank you. His new book or his book, Power Foods for the Brain. Dr. Barnard is a researcher, doctor, and best-selling author. He has gathered information from a lot of research to develop an effective three-step program for boosting brain health. The book will help you put power foods to work, strengthen your brain, and defeat memory threats. The book is also an extension of the conversation that you're hearing on All Sides with Ann Fisher right now. So if you enjoy health programs on All Sides, perhaps you listen to Wellness Wednesday. We ask you right now to make that call of support or to go online, WOSU.org or 1-866-897-9678. And as a $10 a month sustaining member, our gift to you is Power Foods for the Brain from Dr. Neil Barnard. So please call or go online right now.
All Sides with Ann Fisher discusses issues impacting life in Central Ohio. She interviews lawmakers, policymakers, local business leaders, doctors, professors, many more types of guests. And on All Sides, the interviews are not just 5 minutes. Ann talks to her guests for 20 minutes, 40 minutes, even a full hour. All Sides allows the guests to have their say in a civil conversation, and it gives guests the time to talk, to fully explain topics. These types of conversations are unique to public radio. You won't hear this on commercial radio. So please support that now and help continue this conversation. Pledge at WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678.
Simple and easy to join us here on 89.7 NPR News. We ask you to call our volunteers or to go online. We'd be happy to offer you this book as a sustaining member at $10 a month. But more importantly, you'll be showing your support for All Sides with Ann Fisher this hour. And remember, this is the only hour that you can call or go online and get this great gift that we're offering from Dr. Neil Barnard, his new book, or his book, Power Foods for the Brain. Call or go online right now at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org, and we do need to hear from you.
And we live in a generous society. We're quick to help a neighbor in need. We chip in for a good cause. We buy Girl Scout cookies when they come to our front doors. 89.7 NPR News is a lot like a town square where many of these people, worthwhile people, organizations, and activities can all come together. And this station is where local, national, and global events intersect in meaningful ways. This is Central Ohio's only all-day NPR news station. So think about how often you learn something from NPR, the BBC, the WOSU newsroom, from All Sides with Ann Fisher, and then translate all that learning into a contribution. Please pledge at WOSU.org or go call 1-866-897-9678.
And when you do contribute at the $10 a month sustaining membership level, we'll be happy to offer you Power Foods for the Brain. It is Dr. Neil Barnard's book, and he is Ann's guest right now. In this book, Dr. Barnard lays out three simple steps to protect the mind and strengthen the memory. Lots of great information that you're getting this hour, and we can continue this conversation with the thank you gift as well. It is a $10 a month sustaining membership or a one-time gift of $120 when you go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678.
And you've heard us say it several times. Every dollar makes a difference, and we really mean it. Listeners make pledges ranging from $10 to $1,000 during the membership campaign. It all adds up to the money we need to keep programs like All Sides with Ann Fisher on the air. So please, even if it's just $5 a month, that qualifies you for the basic membership. $7 will get you the WOSU member card. $7 a month for discounts on more than 200 local restaurants and attractions. It pays for itself quickly. So please, consider what fits into your budget and make the call to 1-866-897-9678 or give at WOSU.org.
And once again, if you contribute this hour only because you're a supporter of All Sides with Ann Fisher and on 89.7 NPR News, we'll be happy to offer you, as our way of saying thank you, Dr. Neil Barnard's book, Power Foods for the Brain. You may have seen Dr. Neil Barnard on WOSU TV with some of the programs he's had there. Now's an opportunity to interact with him by calling and discussing this on All Sides with Ann Fisher. And when you become a sustaining member at $10 a month, our gift to you is Power Foods for the Brain. In this book, Dr. Barnard lays out three simple steps to protect the mind and strengthen the memory. It's our gift to you when you support us at 89.7 NPR News by calling 1-866-897-9678 or visit us online at WOSU.org. And thanks.
Support comes from Wexner Heritage Village, home of geriatric planning solutions. Now there's a GPS for families navigating the complex and changing landscape of senior health care. More on Wexner Heritage Village's geriatric planning solutions at whv.org.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest this hour is Dr. Neil Barnard, and we've been talking about what you can eat to keep your mind sharp and your memory strong. Dr. Barnard is author of Power Foods for the Brain, an effective three-step plan to protect your mind and strengthen your memory. Dr. Barnard, there's been a little news since last we talked. You attended a conference in July where dietary guidelines for Alzheimer's prevention were unveiled. Can you tell us about the conference and how the guidelines were established?
Sure. This was the International Conference on Nutrition and the Brain, and it was sponsored by the Physicians Committee, Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, along with George Washington University. And the idea was to bring together researchers from all around the world and look at look at the current state of the science. What are the things that need to be learned more about, but what do we know already about changing our diet and lifestyle? And then all of the experts got together, and we wanted to focus on what would be helpful guidelines that might actually protect the brain. And so that was the idea, is we wanted to see if even in the context of a little bit of uncertainty, where we haven't answered every last research question, I think that we do know enough now to make some changes. And that was the whole idea.
Nancy in Columbus, you're on the air with Dr. Neil Barnard. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you. This is fascinating, and I have found that what I don't eat is as important as what I eat, and the thing that giving up wheat was the most significant, helpful thing that I've done. To me, wheat is evil, and I tell everybody not to eat it. Does wheat affect the brain?
Great question. The answer is yes, depending on who you are. About 1% of people have a condition called celiac disease, C-E-L-I-A-C, celiac disease. It's not common, but when you have it, two things happen. The first is your intestinal tract is damaged by, it's not the wheat grain itself, it's the protein in wheat called gluten, and which is also in rye and in barley. But then it also causes you to feel completely sort of fuzz-brained. And when you get away from wheat, the intestinal tract clears up and your mind clears up. So that's 1% of people. About roughly 7% of people have a similar experience, except that their intestinal tract looks totally normal. You can't see anything wrong, but they get diarrhea and gassy, and they feel the same kind of fuzz brain feeling. And when they get away from wheat, they clear up too. But you add all those people together, and that's only maybe 1 in 10 people, roughly. The other 90% of people, if they give up wheat, they feel exactly the same. So what I encourage people to do is, if they're having those symptoms, they can try getting away from gluten, wheat, barley, rye. If they don't feel any benefit, then bring those foods back in. There is no reason to avoid them. But if you feel better, fair enough. You can avoid them. It's challenging to avoid them, but it can make you feel a whole lot better.
All right, Nancy, thank you for your call. Dr. Barnard, let's go back to those guidelines. What foods made it into the guidelines?
Okay, well, we had 7 guidelines, and the first thing was that we wanted to take out the saturated fats and trans fats. And that is really, really, really important because in America, we have never eaten as healthfully as people in many parts of Asia. In fact, even some of the poorest countries are much healthier than we are. So the more you get away from the saturated fats, trans fats, I'm talking about meats, dairy products, eggs, and all those donuts and snack foods, that's all on the bad list. But then on the good list, the things to emphasize, vegetables, legumes, fruits, and whole grains, that should be our staple group of foods. Nuts and seeds are interesting. If you have about a small handful, the vitamin E that they provide can cut Alzheimer's by about half. When people are selecting multiple vitamins, there is a little bit of a surprise. It turns out that most all the common brands have added iron and added copper, mm-hmm. which your brain only needs tiny traces of, and when you add them to multiple vitamins, it's too much. So we encourage people to seek brands that don't have those in them. And there is one supplement that I think everybody ought to take. That's vitamin B12. Whatever your age, whatever your diet, a lot of people are low in B12, and any brand, any amount is fine, but the amount that that your body actually needs is 2.4 micrograms. If people run low, as many, many people do these days, they have problems with their brain, problems with nerve function, and also problems with their blood cells, too. It's very, very common, especially the older we get.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. I'm talking with Dr. Neil Barnard about his book. It's called Power Foods for the Brain, an effective 3-step plan to protect your mind and strengthen your memory. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Let's talk a little bit more about iron and copper, because it's not just what we digest. It's also in our environment. And a lot of us grew up with the iron poor blood commercial on television. So can we have iron poor blood, but too much iron and treat that without doing the damage to the brain that you're worried about?
Well, what you said is exactly the issue, is that we grew up with this idea that the more iron, the better. And those old commercials that we used to see back on Ted Mack's original
Amateur Hour.
Right. More iron than a whole pound of calf's liver. it made it sound like a good thing. Well, iron is a good thing. Iron allows your red blood cells to make hemoglobin. That carries oxygen, not just to your body, but to your brain. Without it, you won't do well. But iron is a double-edged sword. If you have too much, it stimulates the production of free radicals. And you can actually see the beginnings of this process with every rusty pan you ever had. That oxidation process that happens in a pan, it happens to the tiny microscopic bits of iron that are in your body too. And as they oxidize, they produce free radicals that damage the brain. You need copper for enzyme function and other functions in the body. It corrodes. A penny doesn't stay bright and shiny. It corrodes too. And when that happens, that produces free radicals as well. So we're getting iron from meat, liver. We're getting copper from shellfish. But also, how about those copper pipes? How about that cast iron pan? And if it's added to the multiple vitamins that I mentioned, you're overdosing. And here's where Popeye was so smart. The iron that is in spinach, there's a lot of it, but it's in the form called non-heme iron, that if you eat too much of it, the iron becomes less and less absorbable. So this is a form, vegetables have a form of iron that's more absorbable if you need it, less absorbable if you've got plenty on board already. So it's a great advantage.
Here's a related question from Kendall in Columbus. Hi, Kendall. You're on the air with Dr. Barnard.
Hi, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Speaking of metals, I was curious if there's any further research regarding aluminum, and especially with like antiperspirants with that and Alzheimer's.
Is it that aluminum chlorhydrate?
Yes.
Yeah. Dr. Barnard?
I'll tell you. You've asked what really is the $64,000 question. It started with studies in England that looked at aluminum in drinking water, and the places that had it had about 50% more Alzheimer's risk. Places that didn't have it tended to do better. Other studies seem to confirm this, and when you look into the brain of an Alzheimer's patient, you see aluminum in the brain, along with iron and copper and some other metals. That has made many of us very nervous. Now, some very good neurologists say it's just a coincidence. And even if aluminum is a neurotoxin, it's not causing Alzheimer's. My feeling is that while they are fighting it out, I think it's sensible to just stay away from it. So the short answer to your question is we don't know yet. But my prescription is find out from your water company if there's aluminum in your water. And if you don't know or can't figure it out or if there is aluminum in it, either get those tanks of bottled water delivered to your house, drink bottled water, or get a reverse osmosis filter that will remove it all. You're going to be fine. All the bottled water brands are aluminum-free. And then when you're buying products, if you're getting antacids, some of them have aluminum, some don't. You'll see it baking powder. Some of them have aluminum, some don't. It's very, very easy to avoid. And don't use aluminum cookware unless the surface where the food touches the pan is coated with something other than the aluminum.
Kendall, thanks a lot for that call. What about like the Brita-type filters and that sort of thing?
They can, I believe, the last I looked, they will remove some things. I believe they remove copper, but they don't remove aluminum.
And the aluminum, I'm kind of surprised, or I was surprised when I read, and I don't know if I did this or heard about it the last time we talked, but that there's aluminum in baking powder.
It's funny. You go to the store. They've got different brands. And some of them, if you just turn it around and look at the fine print, and it'll say aluminum is in the baking powder. But right next to it is one that on the label will say aluminum-free baking powder. They cost exactly the same. And what I encourage people is to get the aluminum-free brands. And let me be clear. The scientists are still fighting about this. The jury is still out. So I'm not saying that we're 100% sure on this. But we've seen in industrial accidents where people are exposed to lots of aluminum, it causes brain damage. And so and also, unlike copper or iron, you don't need any aluminum in your diet whatsoever. The body does not use it for any good purpose. So my feeling is, let's just set it aside. One funny area is deodorants do not have aluminum, but antiperspirants do, and it does go through the skin. So look at the labels. If you dig around on the shelves enough, you'll see the ones that are aluminum-free.
You are listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. More of my conversation with Dr. Neil Barnard is still to come. But first, here's morning news anchor Steve Brown and membership manager Rob Walker to talk about supporting 89.7 NPR News right now.
Well, thank you very much, and you can support 89.7 NPR News by going to WOSU.org to make your pledge or by pledging when you call 1-866-897-9678. 89.7 NPR News relies on listener contributions to pay for NPR's reporting and analysis on shows like All Sides with Ann Fisher. And, well, that's a local show, but we also pay for NPR's reporting and analysis on shows like All Things Considered, Morning Edition, all the other great shows we air. And now during our membership drive, we're asking you to act on that fact by becoming a contributing listener to 89.7 NPR News. Just $50, $100, $200 for your entire year of listening. Every gift makes a difference. Again, you can go online to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678.
And once again, when you choose to support us right now at the $10 a month sustaining membership level, our gift to you is Power Foods for the Brain from Dr. Neil Barnard. Ann's guest today. You're learning a lot about the great information Dr. Barnard has this hour, and you can get more in this book. Make a pledge of $10 a month as a sustainer, and we'll send you Power Foods for the Brain. In this book, Dr. Barnard lays out three simple steps to protect the mind and strengthen the memory. This thank you gift is a great way to invest in quality programming and also support All Sides with Ann Fisher. Call us now, 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
And if you listen to Ann often, you know that the staff of the show work very hard to bring you topics ranging from doctors talking about health decisions all the way to authors, to book reviews, to travel shows. You're going to hear about it on All Sides with Ann Fisher. and you're part of the conversation, be it Twitter, Facebook, calling into the show, sending an email. You weigh in and listens to your thoughts. She reads your thoughts, considers them. It's a give and take. It's a really unique interaction that you won't hear anywhere else on the radio dial. This is in Central Ohio's only all-day NPR news station. So please support this programming. Make a visit to WOSU.org to make your pledge or call 1-866-897-9678.
Well, when you become a sustaining member at $10 a month, we'll be happy to offer you the book that we're talking about this hour with Dr. Neil Barnard. It's Power Foods for the Brain. He's a researcher, doctor, best-selling author, and has gathered information from research to deliver an effective three-step program for boosting brain health. The book will help you put power foods to work, strengthen your brain, and defeat memory threats. The book is also an extension of the conversation that you're listening to on All Sides with Ann Fisher. If you enjoy Wellness Wednesday, well, today, right now is a great way to support 89.7 NPR News and make a $10 a month sustaining membership or a one-time gift of $120 at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
And Rob mentions sustaining memberships. We're starting to see a trend where more people are becoming sustainers. They've made the switch from being a traditional member to a sustaining member, and it provides security of a steady, reliable stream of financial support. The security comes with benefits as well, reduced paperwork and mail to renew. New memberships. On-air fundraising goals can get smaller so we can have fewer drive days. And there's also the savings we realize in order to we cut costs so we're able to pay for programming, making 89.7 NPR News a better station all around when you become a sustaining member. It does away with the need to call into every drive to renew that membership. It renews automatically. So consider becoming a sustainer when you pledge at WOSU.org or when you call 1-866-897-9678.
And don't forget, when you contribute right now at the $120 annual gift level or $10 a month as a sustainer, Power Foods for the Brain is our way of saying thank you. Do multivitamins increase Alzheimer's disease risk? Can sweet potatoes improve mental clarity? Power Foods for the Brain, a book by nutrition researcher and New York Times bestselling author Dr. Neil Barnard, reveals how simple diet changes can shield the brain from memory loss, stroke, and Alzheimer's. This book is our thank you gift this hour to you when you support us at the $10 a month sustaining membership level at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org. And we do need to hear from you right now. Only a few minutes left in the hour for you to go online and make that $10 a month sustaining membership.
And you're not the only one who relies on this station for news and informed discussion. There are people all over the region, even people from around the country, around the world, who listen every day, but for whatever reason are not in a position to make that contribution to 89.7 NPR News. At one point, you were probably in that place where a contribution of $60 a month, $60 for a year, $120 for a year, even $365, a dollar a day, that was out of the question, but maybe now a contribution works for you. So please make it happen. Support this community resource that thousands of people rely on every day. It's really easy. Just takes about 2 minutes of your time by calling 1-866-897-9678 or pledging when you go to WOSU.org. And thanks to all those who have already pledged their support.
Support for 89.7 comes from the state auto insurance companies, providing home, automobile, and business insurance products and services to Central Ohioans since 1921. State Auto is on the web at stateauto.com.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest this hour is Dr. Neil Barnard. We've been talking about what you can eat to keep your mind sharp and your memory strong. Dr. Barnard is the author of Power Foods for the Brain, an effective three-step plan to protect your mind and strengthen your memory. If you have questions or comments, 614-292-8513. I wanted to briefly get into the issue of sleep, Dr. Barnard.
It's an amazing thing. You know, we are so driven to take care of ourselves with food and with exercise and even intellectual exercises. And sometimes the most important thing is to stop doing everything, turn out the light, lie down, and just go to sleep. When we put EEG leads on a person's scalp and we can measure their brain waves, you see something really, really important, and that is the first half of the night, the brain is involved in what is called slow wave sleep. These slow waves are visible on the brain tracing. What that signals is that the brain is involved in filing away the experiences and the memories and the words and the things you've learned that day. The second half of the night is when REM sleep predominates, and it's a very different brain tracing, and you can even see the eyes darting around to the left and to the right and up and down because you're dreaming. And you know how dreams are often infused with sort of funny emotions? That's when the brain is integrating emotion and resetting emotional control, and also integrating physical skills like playing a musical instrument or tennis or golf. That's the second half of the night. So what if you're up all night? You missed the slow wave sleep. You missed the REM sleep. So that means your memory is going to be terrible. And the more nights sleep you lose or cut short, the worse your memory gets because your brain hasn't had time to integrate anything. Secondly, your emotional control is going to be worse and worse and worse. You'll be grouchy. Sometimes you'll be giddy. Sometimes you'll flip back and forth between the two. And so my rule of thumb is 10 o'clock. Whatever book you're reading, however great the documentary is you're watching, 10 o'clock, lights out, go to sleep, and you'll find that you'll feel sharp. And you see this with kids. Kids who get a good night's sleep are the sharpest, most energetic people on the planet. They don't need a big cup of coffee to get through the day. They're feeling great because they're well-rested, and adults have lost that in many cases.
Well, what about people who are having trouble sleeping? There's some menopause effects, sleep patterns. What about that?
Yeah. Oh, you are so right. I mean, very few of us sleep as well as we did when we were 12 or 13. I've got a little bit of a checklist. It starts with coffee. So many people get into coffee. Coffee makes you more alert, but the half-life of coffee is about 6 hours. Caffeine is about 6 hours. What that means is you have a cup of coffee at, say, 8 o'clock in the morning. 6 hours later, 2 in the afternoon, half of that caffeine is gone, but half of it is still there. Then 6 hours after that, 8 o'clock at night, a quarter of the caffeine is still there. At midnight, little bits of it are still there. What that means is your sleep is not deep. It's artificially light. And when people break away from caffeine, they often do better. But it's a very individualized thing. I don't mean to say coffee is the devil. It's not. Mm-hmm. But in fact, studies in Finland show that people who drink 3, 4, 5 cups of coffee a day have less Alzheimer's risk than other people. But it does disturb sleep. And alcohol, same story. Glass of wine, 5 o'clock, makes you feel good, lulls you to sleep. But it's metabolized in your body to some stimulants. Aldehydes, and they're produced in the liver, and they kick in about 4 in the morning. And so you were lulled to sleep, but then about 3, 4, 5 in the morning, you wake up, and all the troubles of the day will come roaring back. So there's more to sleep than that, but those are my first two checklist points.
Sandy in West Liberty, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Sandy.
Thank you so much, Anne, and thank you for this fabulous show. Dr. Barnard, several years ago I read Dan Buettner's Blue Zones about the regions where people live longest, and I immediately became vegetarian. At the same time, you know, I increased nuts, legumes, et cetera. But I changed to butter as opposed to margarine, and I eat eggs and cheese. So are you suggesting to be done with those also?
Well, first of all, congratulations. You've done great. And for people who are not familiar with Dan Buettner's work, they took a map and they marked places where people live to be 100 more often than in other places. Okinawa, Japan was one. Loma Linda, California was one. Part of Costa Rica. Sardinia off the coast of Italy. Part of Greece. Why? Well, as you said, because their dietary staples, the things that they ate a lot of, were always plant-based. In Okinawa, it's sweet potatoes. In Loma Linda, there's a huge number of vegans and vegetarians that live there because the Adventist Church has a lot of adherents in that area, so they're all vegetarian. And so he was right, and that's a really good way to go. But I would go a step further, and getting away from the dairy products has a huge advantage, and that is that's the number one source of saturated fat. The butter fat, and cheese especially, it's 70% fat. And I sometimes think if it were any worse, it would be Vaseline because people eat much of it. Well, that's why it has that gooey, nice mouthfeel that everyone loves. But in the Chicago study I mentioned earlier, the people who avoided saturated fat cut their risk, or who ate the minimal amounts, cut their risk of Alzheimer's by half or as much as two-thirds. So, yeah, I would run, don't walk. Get away from those kinds of foods. And so you're spreading a sandwich. How about mustard instead of that mayonnaise? Or there is veggie mayonnaise nowadays. And those are better choices for you. And you're going to be happy that you've made that switch.
Thank you, Sandy, for that call. I have a couple emails. If anyone out there wants to email us, the address is allsides@wosu.org. A Facebook message from Aaron. Do the studies on saturated animal fats make a distinction between factory-farmed and grain-fed animals versus the fats from grass-fed animal products or heritage breeds, etc.?
Okay, terrific question.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, wonderful question. A little bit of my own history. I grew up in North Dakota. I come from a long line of cattle ranchers. One day, I was driving a load of cattle with my uncle to the stockyards in East St. Louis. It's a long drive, and when I got there, my uncle was kind of nervous because you could see their droppings had spread all over them as they bumped around in the truck. They all looked green because the green manure had splattered all over the place. They were grass-fed animals. But even then, when they were slaughtered and you looked at the fat that was in them, they were loaded with saturated fat. Now, nowadays, the animals might be raised on grass, but for the last part of their life, they're put on corn, and that makes them even fatter. It increases the quantity of the fat, but the type of fat is still bad. So when people think nowadays, well, get away from corn-fed, go to grass-fed, the difference is not enough.
Okay.
And really the difference even going to chicken is not enough. And here are the numbers. 29% fat is the leanest beef, 23% is the leanest chicken. But if you get that bean burrito, the beans are 4% fat. So I'm going to cheerlead for my neglected friend, the beans, the lentils, the really simple and cheap dietary staples. That's always going to be your best bet.
Joyce in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome, Joyce.
Well, thank you. First, I wanted to say to Dr. Bernard, I bought his whole package a couple years ago, got the DVD and the whole thing and his books, and I'm now a vegan and very happy vegan. But what I called about today is sleep habits. And I listen to books on tape when I go to sleep at night with the little earplugs in my ear. And, of course, during the night, when the tape's over, I wake up, so I have to put another CD on. And then I sleep through that, and then I put another one on. I'm kind of thinking that's probably not too healthy. What do you think?
Dr. Barnard, thanks, Joyce.
Well, first of all, I envy you. That's what a tremendous learning drive that 24 hours a day you're getting in. I'm very impressed. I can't do that myself. But as I mentioned earlier, there is something to be said for leaving your brain alone at night, and because it's a bit every fact, every experience is a little bit like a new file folder thrown on top of your desk. And if one gets piled on top of another, well, all those experiences, all those quote-unquote file folders, they need to be filed away somewhere. So if you're always getting input, your brain has trouble integrating them. So it's not a bad thing to unplug every now and then. Let your brain do the process of integrating those memories, and then you'll be able to hopefully remember those things the next day. But by the way, thank you for looking into these materials. Thank you for the changing your diet and letting other people know about it. And I hope that it has had some benefits for you.
Thank you, Joyce. I have an email from Dave. He writes, my mom was diagnosed with dementia a while ago and is at a stage where she frequently asks, I'm sorry, hon, what are the boys' names again? Referring to my two children. And Monday when the boys and I took her to lunch, she asked my wife's name. Also things like she thinks the nursing home is the summer camp her parents owned and that they will be coming to pick her up soon. It is such a sad disease. My question, is there anything I can do, or I guess anybody can do, once someone is diagnosed with this horrible disease to slow the process at all, food or otherwise?
Well, first of all, bless your heart. Your parents are lucky to have you. It's a challenging situation. All four of my grandparents succumbed to dementia, and my dad died last year after a long battle with it, and it's rough. I mean, you lose everything that ever mattered to you. Having said that, the quest for medications has not borne the fruit that it needs to. There are medications. You could try them. They do have side effects, and they are not very useful. Their effect is temporary, and it's weak. That's not a reason to not try them. You can. But with regard to the diet and lifestyle changes, researchers have done some interesting things. At the University of Cincinnati, they brought in a group of people, average age 78. Everyone had mild cognitive impairment, which means you're still yourself, but every day you're having mental lapses. Your memory's not so hot. And what they did is they gave them, the first group got grape juice, about a pint a day of grape juice. And in 3 months' time, everybody's memory had improved. And when I read this, I thought, wait, that's just way too easy. How can that be? Well, grapes happen to be, the grapes they use are Concord grapes, which are intensely purple. And that's a very high concentration of anthocyanins, which are antioxidants that protect the body and presumably protect the brain. So they thought, well, other foods rich in the same compounds should have the same effect. Blueberries have these same compounds. And in research studies, they did the same thing. Exercise at the University of Illinois. People with memory problems lace up their sneakers, and they showed that it actually reverses age-related brain shrinkage, particularly of the parts of the brain involved in memory. The amount that was needed was 3 times a week, 40-minute brisk walk. Having said that, I do think there is a point of no return when the brain structures are being fairly seriously damaged. I really don't think that we have the ability yet to turn that around. But I don't know where that dividing line is. So there's always benefit, no matter what your age, to doing what you can to get your heart pumping with whatever exercise you're capable of. And by the way, you don't need a pint a day of grape juice. Why not have grapes on your salad, blueberries on your morning oatmeal or on your pancakes, and put these foods as part of your routine? That's really kind of the prescription that we're aiming at right now.
Dr. Barnard, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks again to Dr. Neil Barnard for joining us today. And now with more information on how you can support our station, here's Morning News anchor Steve Brown and membership manager Rob Walker.
And thank you very much, Ann. You can support 89.7 NPR News. You can support All Sides with Ann Fisher and all of the other great programs on this station really, really easily. Just go to WOSU.org to make that pledge of support or call 1-866-897-9678. And more than ever, we know you rely on 89.7 NPR News and NPR and the BBC and WOSU to bring clarity to the day's news. And more than ever, we rely on the money that you give to keep this content coming. So please make the call to 1-866-897-9678 or pledge at WOSU.org.
And don't forget that when you contribute this hour, if you really enjoy the hour with Dr. Neil Barnard, we ask you now to call or go online and make that $10 a month sustaining membership or a one-time gift of $120. And our gift to you is Power Foods for the Brain. Do multivitamins increase Alzheimer's risk? Can sweet potatoes improve mental clarity? Power Foods of the Brain, a book by nutrition researcher and New York Times bestseller Dr. Neil Barnard, reveals how simple diet changes can shield the brain from memory loss, stroke, and Alzheimer's. The book is our thank you gift this hour when you contribute at the $10 a month sustaining membership level or one-time gift of $120 to WOSU.org or 1-866-897-9678.
And All Sides with Ann Fisher is a two-hour daily call-in show. The show is unique to 89.7 NPR News. You're not going to find this show anywhere else on the radio dial either. Civil conversations about state politics, issues at Columbus City Hall, events happening around Ohio, discussions with doctors about wellness practices. If this two-hour local show, this call-in show, this conversation is valuable to you as a listener, we need you to support it right now. Help us meet our goal. Pledge at WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678.
Well, we thank each and every one of you who have supported us during our membership drive. And we do have a little way to go here to reach our goals, but we know and we are confident that you will participate in the membership drive and support All Sides with Ann Fisher. But your phone call right now and your online gift really does matter, so we need to hear from you. Again, the number is 1-866-897-9678 or visit us at WOSU.org. It's your way to support 89.7 NPR News. We need to hear from you right now. And we ask you to pledge that $10 a month sustaining membership level, and we'll be happy to offer you as our way of saying thank you. the book from Dr. Neil Barnard, Power Foods for the Brain. 1-866-897-9678 or online at WOSU.org.
Again, that phone number to call, 1-866-897-9678. We face a lot of political issues today, jobs, the economy, health insurance, the Middle East. But more than ever, these issues are not just American issues. How the U.S. deals with these huge topics affects people in countries around the globe. And public radio is dedicated to that type of reporting on what's happening in Central Ohio, what's happening around the U.S., what's happening in the Middle East, other parts of the world. 89.7 reporters and reporters from Ohio Public Radio, NPR, the BBC, they all provide essential news from every continent. It's important to hear what our local leaders are saying, and it's just as important to hear what other world leaders are saying. So please continue this public radio, this strength of coming through with the generosity of our listeners. They do it again and again, and we're just asking you to make that next pledge of support. WOSU.org to pledge online or pick up the phone and dial 1-866-897-9678.
And when you contribute at the $10 a month sustaining membership level or a one-time gift of $120, Dr. Neil Barnard's book, Power Foods for the Brain, is our way of saying thank you. This is a three-step plan to protect your mind and strengthen your memory. The book has valuable information about nutrition's surprising effects on the brain. It also includes 75 power food recipes developed by experienced chefs. Our gift to you right now for a one-time gift of $120 or a $10 a month sustaining membership gift is the book by Dr. Neil Barnard, Power Foods for the Brain. We ask you to call or go online right now or support us through the mobile app, WOSU.org or 1-866-897-9678.
Join Philip Golder from Marion, who pledged his support, Alexander from Worthington, Donna Whiteside from West Jefferson, Carol Farmer from Columbus, all calling within the last 10 minutes or so. Please join those callers, join those supporters, those members of 89.7 NPR News. Just a simple gift, $5 a month will get you the basic membership. $7 a month will get you the WOSU member card, good for discounts at more than 200 local restaurants and attractions. Please, it's probably been about a year since you made your last contribution to 89.7 NPR News. If it has, consider renewing that support today. If it's your first gift ever, that's a great feeling. That makes you a member. That takes you from a listener to a member. So please make the call, 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
And
the,
what, oh.
This, excuse me, Rob, this is listener-supported WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station, a service of WOSU Public Media. Again, 1-866-897-9678.